This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration may finally be abandoning its longstanding support for that notorious favorite of the right wing, tax cuts on capital gains. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, according to reports from the administration, President Bush has had enough on capital gains, and he won't renew his misguided attempt to persuade Congress to cut taxes on such gains. The face-saving reason is that the budget doesn't have room for tax cuts, although we may need to find room in a hurry if the current recession keeps getting worse. The real reason is that President Bush and you right-wingers were taking so much criticism because of your stubborn support for that wonderfully Republican rip-off of the rich. 80% of the capital gains tax break goes to people making over $100,000 a year. Get real, Al. If we're going to cut taxes, let's do it in the ways that help all Americans, not just the super rich.
Congratulations, Ted. You win the Marie Antoinette Let 'Em Eat Cake Award for 1991. You and your wealthy Democrat chums always say you're for the little guy, but it sure would put a crimp in your lifestyle to have to live that way, wouldn't it? You want to get real? Who's rich, Ted? That's real. But you don't stop there. Out of guilt, you help run the budget into trillions of dollars in debt and fight efforts to help the economy grow. Then you scratch your dome and wonder why we're in a recession. Take some guts, Ted. It really doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that a lower capital gains tax might just make some investors pour their capital into new companies, which would then create new jobs and opportunity for the very people you bellow about. Ted, don't make this recession any worse than it has to be. Knock off the petty politics that other Americans have to pay for with unemployment and higher taxes. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I face off next on the repressive changes that are again taking place in the Soviet Union. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. First, Shevardnadze quits. And then the head of the KGB warns against making any further reforms in the Soviet Union. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, what's your crystal ball say on the Soviet Union? Somebody should tell the KGB the Cold War is over. They've been spewing out some pretty harsh stuff lately, and maybe it should make us think what would happen to U.S.-Soviet relations if Gorbachev got the boot. Ted, I know some of your old pals just learned to pronounce glasnost and perestroika, but 6 months after censorship was officially abolished, Soviet television was told not to air a program about Shevardnadze's resignation. And now there's even a story they stuffed the ballot box to elect Gorbachev's new vice president, shades of Cook County. Ted, the U.S. is doing all in its power to help Gorbachev succeed and to solve the terrible problems that face him. But let's be so careful and cautious to prevent being unprepared if Gorbachev should fail and we get stuck with somebody who thinks Stalin was a libertarian.
Al, Gorbachev would be glad to trade his Nobel Peace Prize for an economics prize. The goodwill he's earned in the West is not worth many rubles in bad times at home, with people suffering and no end in sight. To some extent, Al, the situation's like what we faced in this country in the years immediately after our own revolution. 13 quarreling colonies, newly freed from King George and savoring their liberty, had enough sense to realize they could no longer survive under the loose ties of the Articles of Confederation. They formed a new federal union under a constitution that wisely allocated powers between the central government and the states. Under Gorbachev, the Soviet Union is going through that kind of crisis and reappraisal now, struggling to find a reasonable balance between their central government and the Soviet republics. Let's hope they find it soon, Al, with as much help from us as they need. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the B-2 Bomber. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration is beginning to see the light on cutting defense spending for gold-plated weapons like the B-2 Bomber. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the Pentagon may finally be giving up the ghost on the B-2 stealth bomber. That's the controversial nuclear war fighting bomber that was the dream plane of right-wing Cold Warriors in the Reagan years. Now that the Cold War's over, it's a bomber without a purpose. At $850 million a plane, it's become a gold-plated nightmare in the budget. According to recent reports, the Pentagon is likely to drop its plans to produce a full fleet of 75 B-2s. Instead, it will settle for completing the 15 bombers now on the assembly line and halt production of any more. If the Pentagon is willing to cancel a turkey that's been gobbling up billions of defense dollars, Al, you should be too, or you're an even bigger turkey.
Ted, if I'm a turkey, then you're a vulture. especially since all you've ever done as a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee is circle around defense programs you've helped to kill and then swoop down and pick at the bleached bones. As for the B-2 bomber program, maybe you'd like to say so long, but you're dead wrong to say that the Secretary of Defense wants to join you. In response to erroneous leaked reports, the Air Force says it remains steadfast and fully committed behind the B-2 bomber fleet. When Saddam Hussein goes nuclear, you'll be glad that baby is airborne. The only confusion the Pentagon has ever shown has come from Congress waffling to specify how this year's funding should be spent. The project got short-sheeted again this year, but the House and Senate committees are still dithering over how the funds should be spent. Sounds like more mixed signals and partisan double talk from you Democrats again. And Lord, the new year has just begun. Woe is me. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the need to have a living will to spell out personal wishes in case one ever becomes the victim of a coma. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. With the Supreme Court upholding the right of all Americans to have a living will, each of us should take the time to do one. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, a living will lets a person spell out in advance whether or not they want life support systems to keep them alive should they ever lapse into a coma and not be able to speak for themselves. A living will also protects the rights of those who do want to continue living under any circumstances, as well as those who would choose death over living in a vegetable-like condition. The Supreme Court upheld this right to have artificial life support stopped if there is clear and convincing evidence that such an action was in accord with the patient's earnest desire. To show the importance for persons to make their wishes known in advance, Congress now requires all hospitals to inform patients about their clear rights to have a living will. Ted, will you help me encourage folks to take a few precious minutes and set down what they personally would want for themselves at such a critical time of life?
Good suggestion, Al. Living wills don't even have to be in writing, although it's the safest way to guarantee your wishes are known and carried out. Fortunately, cases like Nancy Cruzan's are rare, but when they occur, a living will can make all the difference in preventing the long and painful ordeal she and her family went through. As the Supreme Court ruled, terminal patients have the right to reject treatment and insist that heroic measures are not used by doctors to keep them alive. But on the central issue at the heart of the Cruzan case, Al, the Supreme Court held that states can require clear and convincing evidence that patients want their treatment ended. That's where living wills come in. Most states take a compassionate approach. They let parents or spouses or loved ones make the decision in cases where the patient cannot. That's what I'd want, Al, but a living will can remove any doubt. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on machine guns. They ought to be banned, lock, stock, and barrel. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The National Rifle Association thinks people should have the right to own machine guns. What does Senator Al Simpson think? In a moment, we'll face off. Al, I know you pride yourself on being a mouthpiece for the National Rifle Association. They say jump, and you say how high. Well, this time they want you to jump right off the wall. They're asking the Supreme Court to declare that people have a constitutional right to own machine guns. Law enforcement officers across the country are outraged, Al. Their lives are on the line. The present situation is bad enough, with all the firepower already on the streets in the hands of criminals. The last thing we need is to add machine guns to their arsenal. Machine guns have been under strict federal control since the 1930s. In a rare defeat for the NRA, Congress went the extra mile in 1986 and banned their ownership or sale. Even the Justice Department opposes the NRA this time, Al. What about you?
Ted, for as much as you shoot off your mouth about the National Rifle Association, you really must become a better shot. You clearly admit that machine guns are illegal, and they have been for more than 50 years, but that's just the point. Being outlawed still hasn't kept one single criminal nut wanting to use a machine gun from getting his hands on one. Let's stop taking shaky aim at the NRA. It's long past time for you to realize that your real target should be the attitude of a nation and leaders like you that allow a criminal to use a gun and get away with it. We can change the way people think. Use tough jail sentences. Use a gun to commit a crime and you spend a good chunk of your life in the slammer. A criminal fires a gun at another human being, whether he kills them or not, and he forfeits his life. Now that would change people's attitude, Ted. You always coddle the scum and go for the gun. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I face off next on getting the private insurance policy to pay the claims they should pay instead of Medicare. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Medicare is spending over $1 billion each year on medical claims that should be paid by private insurance companies. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, Congress set up Medicare to help to pay the medical bills for our nation's elderly. At the same time, it was to make certain that any senior citizen who had private medical insurance would use that policy first and Medicare second. But this law is continually being ignored, and Medicare continues to shell out huge bucks each year to pay off claims that should be paid by the private insurers. Ted, when the president sends up his budget this year, he'll ask for funds to create a national insurance clearinghouse to halt this abuse and make certain private insurance pays the claims that Medicare mistakenly got stuck with. Even you ought to get behind this plan. $1 billion saved here is one more billion we don't have to hit up the poor old taxpayers for, Ted.
Al, miracles never cease. Even old right-wing pro-business Al Simpson is finally willing to tackle the private health insurance industry. Current law already requires private insurers to pay first before government coverage kicks in. Large sums are at stake because millions of senior citizens continue to work after they turn 65. They're still covered by their employer's group health plan, even though they are also eligible for Medicare. As more and more elderly Americans stay at work, Medicare will shell out more and more dollars that private insurers should pay unless something is done. That sensible rule doesn't just apply to Medicare, Al. It also applies to Medicaid for low-income workers, VA health benefits for veterans, and even to medical expenses under workman's compensation and automobile insurance. No backsliding, Al. You're on the right track today instead of your usual right-wing track. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on welfare reform. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Innovative ideas can achieve large savings on welfare. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the budget crunch is putting heavy pressure on governments at every level to wring the waste out of current spending and use tax dollars more effectively. You Republicans rail and rail against spending, Al, but all you ever seem to propose are harsh cuts that hurt the needy the most, especially families on welfare. Well, here's an idea that Democrats are pushing that can achieve real welfare savings, help families become more self-sufficient, and help the economy, too. Most welfare recipients are able and willing to work, but they need job skills. Investing in job training, child care, and health care for families on welfare can save billions of dollars when parents start moving off welfare rolls and onto payrolls, and absent fathers start earning enough to pay child support. That's the right way to cut welfare spending, Al. It's a lot fairer than the right-wing way.
Since you always fly on only one left wing, Ted, it's no wonder you only go about in circles. You would spend billions on job training, but still you won't vote to make the economy healthy so there are real jobs for people after the training. Ted, I do agree that welfare programs should help people to get weaned away from eternal federal support. Allowing lives to revolve in an endless cycle of poverty is just such a waste. And it's sure also true that welfare dollars can be made more efficient. Republicans have been pushing that for years. The Women, Infants, and Children's program saves millions in medical bills by keeping babies healthy and out of hospitals. But let us never underestimate the power of a strong and vital national economy as the very best way to entice people from the welfare rolls. People don't want handouts, Ted. They want real jobs and real opportunity. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the need to help American uranium compete against foreign markets. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. America is right on the brink of losing its historic ability to produce enriched uranium for our nation's nuclear power industry. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, right now, more than 20% of America's electricity is generated by the power of the atom. The uranium needed for this vital contribution to the nation's energy consumption has always been mined and enriched right here in these United States. But unless sensible action takes place this year in Congress, America's uranium industry will lose its ability to produce, and our network of nuclear power plants will become completely dependent upon the foreign market. Sound familiar? Ted, the lack of a national energy policy and our crippling reliance on overseas oil should teach us that we can't afford to let the same thing happen to uranium, too. Now, here's your chance to prevent a disaster in the making and help America be more energy independent. Will you take it? Don't bet the rent.
Al, we need an energy policy, as the Persian Gulf crisis continues to prove. President Bush insists that if we go to war, it'll be for principle, not oil. Well, I see principle is now selling for $1.60 a gallon. Where we part company, Al, is over the cockamamie solutions you're touting. Those Simpson snake oil cures are worse than the disease. Nuclear power is not safe. The last thing we need is a costly taxpayer bailout of the uranium industry. If we never build another nuclear power plant, Al, it's too soon for me. It would also be a major mistake to lift the environmental restrictions that block offshore drilling for oil. A sound energy policy must look elsewhere. Building cars with better mileage, using more natural gas, tapping solar, hydro, and other renewable sources. Stop cheerleading for nuclear power, Al. Start supporting these safer alternatives. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on abusive marketing practices for prescription drugs. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Pharmaceutical firms are enticing doctors into prescribing drugs by improperly offering fancy vacation trips. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the pharmaceutical industry deserves credit for its breakthrough against disease. But there's a darker side. To boost profits and gain an edge on competitors, companies have poured millions of dollars a year into improper incentives to influence the prescribing habits of physicians. Companies offer vacation trips to exotic resorts for doctors who peddle company pills. Costly drugs approved by the Food and Drug Administration for one disease are touted for other conditions that have no such approval. The industry has just adopted voluntary guidelines to curb these abuses, Al, but tougher action may be needed. Patients have the right to know that prescription drugs they're taking are needed for their illness, not just part of their doctor's frequent prescriber vacation plan.
Ted, just how does a new drug benefit a patient if their doctor doesn't know it exists? And what about drugs like calcium channel blockers, which save patients from having $30,000 bypass operations? Instead of always bashing the industry, you should be recognizing the lives it saves each year. As for the gifts and free trips that some drug companies once provided to doctors, you conveniently forget to share with us that both the American Medical Association and the Pharmaceutical Manufacturers Association have approved tough new ethics standards that place the muzzle on drug promotions. The AMA now forbids any doctor to accept a trip, airline tickets, merchandise, or cash from any drug company trying to hustle a new product. Doctors are only permitted free samples or donations which directly benefit the patient. Ted, let the AMA solve its own problems. Federal regulations aren't the only cure. Common sense is tough medicine for an old doc basher like you. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Senator Al Simpson. After spending many years and millions of dollars in development, American computer programs are being ripped off by the copyright pirates. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, for every 3 U.S. computers we sell in Italy, only one legitimate software program is purchased. American companies estimate they lose $5 billion a year in sales to Europe from the copyright pirates who sell illegal copies of U.S. computer programs. In Hong Kong, thousands of bootlegged copies of American computer programs are smuggled into the world market every year. Ted, America desperately needs to protect intellectual property rights of all our inventors. We already have copyright agreements with many of these same countries where the greatest software piracy takes place. Ted, you always go soft on the hard crimes. Would you at least join us in an effort to come down hard on software crimes and stop the ripoff of American technology overseas?
Al, the most that can be said about your software ideas is that you're soft in the head. Most European countries, including Italy, have copyright laws similar to ours. So does Hong Kong. In fact, the software industry is not pressing for a legislative fix to deal with foreign pirates. In fact, American software manufacturers are increasingly successful in tracking down those pirates in foreign countries and making them pay up. In fact, the U.S. already has authority to act against foreign countries flagrantly flouting our laws. When violations are found, tough penalties are imposed on imports from those countries. If there's a problem, it's been in the GATT negotiations. Even there, the software industry is generally satisfied with the intellectual property provisions in GATT. The problem is the negotiations have broken down over the hot-button issue of protections for agriculture. Our copyright laws are important now, but when it comes to software, you've copied them wrong. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Ted Kennedy. The historic Persian Gulf debate in Congress settled one issue. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, there were deep divisions and real anguish in Congress over the votes on the Persian Gulf. But if there's a silver lining in the dark clouds of war, it's that after many weeks of hesitation, President Bush, in the end, complied with the Constitution and asked Congress to approve his policy. The Constitution could not be clearer, Al. Only Congress can declare war, not the President. Past examples of the use of force by presidents without the approval of Congress were no justification for President Bush to act alone today. Those were minor skirmishes or defensive actions against continuing aggression, not all-out wars initiated by past presidents. The Persian Gulf is entirely different. We may disagree about his policy of war, Al, but President Bush deserves credit for complying with the Constitution.
There you go again, my friend, claiming that Congress has constitutional powers that even the courts have never acknowledged. In the Persian Gulf case, as in all of our past, the real constraint on the president's powers, where war is concerned, is through Congress's control of the purse strings. Take another closer look at the writings and ratification of our Constitution. You won't find that the authors intended that Congress declare war every time the president deploys our troops to protect our national interest. You and your liberal Democrat cronies simply wanted to hamstring the president into a totally mistaken belief that Congress knows better than he does whenever foreign policy is concerned. You're just plain flat wrong on this one, Ted. If you don't believe me, ask the people who pay us. We spoke for a majority of them this time. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. We need to rethink our use of domestic energy sources so we never again may find ourselves so cripplingly dependent on Persian Gulf oil. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, oil is surely a vitally important international commodity, but there is absolutely no reason for us to be continually strapped and tethered to the Middle East. Oil is not the only form of energy. Natural gas is available in huge quantities right here at home. We have millions of barrels of oil in Alaska and off our nation's coast that some have placed off limits for various reasons. Nuclear or solar power are both safe and efficient sources, and we must develop them vigorously, too. Ted, no one is going to jeopardize our environment in dull-witted ways. Are you ready to join with many thoughtful Republicans to free ourselves of Middle East energy bondage by sensibly developing America's resources right here at home?
There you go again, Al. Your cure for the nation's excessive dependence on foreign oil is worse than the disease. You tuck that little word nuclear into your alternative energy proposal, and that's a big mistake. Nuclear energy isn't safe. The last thing we need is another Three Mile Island, or worse, a Chernobyl disaster in the United States. One effective energy-saving alternative you didn't mention holds real promise. Save energy by using less. Every barrel of oil we don't use means one less barrel imported from the Middle East. If automobiles manufactured in the United States average just 3 more miles a gallon, the oil save would equal all the oil we imported from Iraq and Kuwait before the crisis began. The conflict in the Persian Gulf is a tragic consequence of our failed energy policy of the past, Al. Let's hope we never go to war again for oil. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on steps to stop the current economic recession. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The nation needs an anti-recession program. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, every week, thousands of hardworking men and women are losing their jobs because of the recession. Yet the administration stays silent and does nothing. President Bush even says that if Congress tries to help, he'll veto anything we do. That's unacceptable, Al. If we can spend billions of dollars to defend the throne of the Emir of Kuwait, why can't we do at least something to defend the jobs of American workers? What we need is an emergency anti-recession program that does four things. put pressure on the Federal Reserve to reduce interest rates faster, cut Social Security taxes to help working families, plug the gaping loopholes in unemployment compensation, and provide jobs to put the unemployed back to work. Don't just stand there doing nothing, Al. Let's stop the slide and lift the economy out of George Bush's recession.
Ted, the help you're peddling will only shovel us into a deeper economic hole. Your bottom line is that tired old Democratic solution, more and more spending with the bill sent straight to the taxpayer. Need an example? You want to put pressure on the Federal Reserve. Why? The Fed is already doing its job by trying to ease credit without creating more inflation. Another example? You want to create work programs? The last thing we need now are massive make-work programs with Uncle Sam as the pay boss. We all know where he gets his bucks. Straight out of the pocketbook of the same poor folks you always claim you're trying to help. What is wrong with helping American business to create real jobs, like reducing the capital gains tax and supporting our business community? I'm ready to act here, Ted. We all should be. But if your solution is still more deficit spending, do us all a big favor and sit this one out, eh? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the terrible mess and abuses in our food stamp program. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Food stamps sure are buying a lot more today than they used to. Sadly, now it's drugs. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, food stamp fraud is running amok. In fact, drug dealers stand to make over $140 million off them this year. Here's how it works. Beneficiaries trade the food coupons to the dealers for drugs, and the dealers turn right around and sell them to the grocery stores for a profit. Food stamps must not be used as a second currency to feed a vicious drug habit. They should be used to feed the children, adults, and the families they were created for. We all know how crazy gung-ho you are for a social welfare state, Ted, but if food stamps for drugs doesn't open your peepers to the total failure of some of your utopian ways, then I sure don't know what will. Leaving the system as it stands now won't do the trick. Some tough controls and less lofty prattle and bleeding-heart logic are necessary. Can you come down off your high horse and admit it's time for some real change in this program?
Al, pick on someone your own size. Sure, food stamp fraud is a problem. I'm all for seeking better ways to stop it. But we already have. A tough new federal law you didn't mention treats food stamp fraud like money laundering, with 20-year maximum prison terms and $250,000 fines. Just once, Al, I'd like to hear you complain with the same outrage about SNL frauds, or defense contractor frauds, or coal mine operators and other businesses who cheat on the safety of their workers. Food stamps is the program you right-wingers love to hate. But don't use fraud as an excuse to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Food stamps put food on the table for 20 million Americans in poverty. 98.5% of the program is fraud-free. Clean up the other 1.5%? Yes. But kill the whole program? No way, Al. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on reforming the nation's education system. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Our education system needs reform, desperately. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, it's time to get serious about education. 30 million Americans are illiterate. 1 out of 4 high school students drops out before graduation. 1/3 of the nation's secondary school students are enrolled in math or science courses taught by teachers who aren't qualified to teach the subject. In a comparative study with 13-year-olds in other nations, U.S. students rank last in math. Yet 68% of the students claim they were good at math. When George Bush ran for president in 1988, he said he wanted to be the education president. When's he going to start? Ever since he took office in 1989, education has been the phantom of the domestic agenda. No more lip service, Al. Let's give education the priority it deserves, even if it means old Neanderthal Simpson will have to spend more money on blackboards and less on B-2 bombers.
Ted, are you sure those were only math students who blew that test? It's the Democratic Congress that ranks near the bottom in reforming education in this country, yet somehow we convince ourselves we'd done good. The Bush bill passed. Dems diddled it. Of course our education system needs reform. That's what President Bush has been saying. He knows all studies show that educational quality goes up when the federal bucks are combined with local flexibility. The president's actions reflect an honest commitment to genuine reform. He even called together all of the governors so they could share notes about their educational successes. If we're going to help our children learn, Ted, Congress is going to have to show that it can learn too. Listen carefully. Here is today's lesson. The quality of education reform is not measured solely by the size of the federal check. Now write that 500 times. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on parents and daycares who take tax deductions for children who don't exist. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The IRS is cracking down hard on parents who take deductions for children who don't exist. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, 2 years ago, Congress began requiring that taxpayers report the name and Social Security number of any babysitter or daycare center they might claim for a write-off. This loophole was closed in order to force daycares to report income and pay taxes. But the IRS soon discovered, too, that 3 million parents also stopped making phony claims for babysitters which never really existed. For good reason, the IRS is now demanding that parents provide that same information for any child they claim as a dependent. And guess what? 7 million kids who never did exist have vanished. Our citizens have to pay what they owe. In the name of boosting your standing on all social issues, regardless of worth, you're surely not supporting tax fraud now, are you, Ted?
Al, the Internal Revenue Service hit pay dirt in their campaign against tax fraud. It's hard to believe that so many citizens intentionally cheat on their taxes by claiming deductions on their tax returns for children who don't exist. By cracking down on that abuse, the IRS is saving $3 billion a year. That blatant cheating is called IRS roulette. Citizens gamble that their tax returns will never be audited. Too many people get away with it, Al, because you and your right-wing budget-cutting friends in the Reagan administration slash the IRS budget for law enforcement and made audits far less likely. Those fictitious deductions are one part of the so-called underground economy. As much as $100 billion a year in taxes go uncollected because of various types of fraud. The more we crack down on tax cheats, the less taxes honest citizens will have to pay. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on our collapsing healthcare system. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. 1991 is the year for action on America's healthcare crisis. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the healthcare crisis is getting steadily worse, and it's having a more and more harmful effect on large numbers of American families. 37 million citizens currently have no insurance at all. Another 26 million more will lose their insurance this year for substantial periods of time. Another 60 million Americans have insurance so thin that even the Reagan administration said it was inadequate. Health care should be a basic right for all, not just an expensive privilege for the rich. When you go to the doctor, you shouldn't have to stick out your wallet before you stick out your tongue. An overwhelming majority of Americans support universal access to decent health insurance for all citizens. 1991 is the year for action. Even your business cronies are affected by the crisis. They're willing to support reform, Al. Why aren't you?
What business cronies, Ted? You break business yet. Congress does have a responsibility to make quality health care available and affordable. But the costs of health insurance and medical treatment are going through the roof. You always think you're a big winner when you talk about mandating insurance, but you're way off on this one, pal. Forcing business won't solve the problem, Ted. Instead, it will send businesses into a sea of red ink. Let's not just slap a nonstick Band-Aid on this one, Ted. Let's do some serious exploratory surgery. We need to take a very thoughtful look at the full scope of our nation's healthcare dilemma. It's $600 billion a year we spend now. Ted, you're out there running the race in your tight shorts even before they fire the gun. Universal health coverage won't be worth a plug nickel if we bankrupt the nation and American business trying to pay for it. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on a Michigan jail that banned smoking and gained a lot more than just healthy lungs. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Smoking anywhere, not just in the John, has been banned in a Michigan jail. Amazing what they found when the haze cleared. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, jails are usually as smoke-filled as one of your all-night poker games, but no longer in Macomb County, Michigan. There have been some changes made. The 800-man county jail is now smoke-free. That means no one, inmate, official, or visitor, can light up. The program was begun in order to improve inmate health, reduce fire hazards, and lower the cost of cleaning and maintenance. But the greatest benefit, which came as a total surprise, was the near cutoff of drug smuggling into the jail by visitors. Ted, Macomb County is way ahead of its time. Not only will they keep the clink drug-free, but they are saving lives from the hazardous cancer-causing effects of smoking. I say give them a pat on the back, but Lord, you'll probably give them one of your big fat cigars.
Al, it'd be nice if all smoke-free areas turned out to be drug-free areas, too. But we'll need a little more evidence than you just provided to prove there's a cause-and-effect relationship. What is clear is that cutting back on smoking has beneficial effects on health. I hope your sudden interest in smoke-free areas means you'll stop dragging your heels on other measures needed to curb tobacco use. Smoking is America's public health enemy number one, Al. 400,000 deaths a year. The abusive practices of the cigarette industry are targeting misleading advertising campaigns on women, minorities, and the young. Cigarette companies are spending $2.5 billion a year on ads to glamorize smoking. If you're serious about anti-smoking, Al, and not just posturing, join the effort in Congress to crack down on all forms of cynical cigarette advertising. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on ERA, Equal Rights for Women. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.